Empowering listeners from the US to the UK. Live on air with Stephen Cuoco.
I'm going to start out by saying, if you haven't done it, do it. Why are you waiting? No one's going to stop. Life's not stopping. No one's stopping. The birds are going to chirp. The leaves are going to grow. Flowers are going to shed. Seasons are going to change. You're going to do it? Just do it. I'm Stephen Cuoco, and whether you're listening to Live on Air with Stephen Cuoco on Power 98.5 Satellite Radio and Biz Talk Radio, big shout out to my new family over there at Biz Talk Radio at biztalkradio.com, as well as biztv.com. All the latest and greatest in news, sports, entertainment, reality TV, and more is what I'm bringing to you. When you're listening to Live on Air with Stephen Cuoco on Biz Talk Radio, my show airs at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, and Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss any of my live episodes, whether on Power 98.5 Satellite Radio, Power985.com, or Biz Talk Radio, you can listen to me on any one of your favorite podcast platforms, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Amazon Audible, Audio, or Amazon, Audible, and Spotify. We got it all covered. Doing a lot better. I hope you guys heard my interview with actor Cam Gigante, or Cam Gigante. Yeah, everyone has a different pronunciation for it. The French pronunciation is Gigante. When I spoke to Cam, it's Gigante. So we're gonna get the hang of it eventually. It's a very interesting name. I believe it's a French name. That's why they say Gigante. That's available now on iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Amazon Audible, and Spotify. It will re-air on Power 98.5, I believe, this weekend, but we're going to make it easy. Anything and everything Power 98.5, which I own that radio station, just go to power985.com, check the schedule, and you're going to need to check the schedule for whatever time zone that you are in. Power 98.5 is available on the iOS and Android app. If you happen to have a newer version of the Android app, don't worry. My tech team is updating the API right now to have it available for you. Leave a review. Add it in your Alexa skill. Also, I'm very grateful and happy to say and to share, which is a huge accomplishment, I believe, for me, is Power 98.5 is available on Apple Music. The reach is 200 countries, and very happy about that. Oh, we going to take a breath or no? We just going to do it. We're going to take my advice and just do it. I've got a special guest on today, VJ Marolia. We're going to talk about Social Security and bankruptcy, and is it almost guaranteed? VJ, what's going on? What's happening in the world of banking? Should we be concerned? It's only February.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try to do my best to make sure that our listeners are, staying awake, paying attention, and hopefully they'll learn something that's interesting, fascinating, not too scary, but that can maybe put them in a better situation after they are finished listening to our conversation.
Exactly. I appreciate that. Very much so, because I'm going to tell you, I highly doubt we're going to be bored or tired at all. And you've got such great energy. I just want to let you know, I don't know how you're doing with allergy season right now. I had to take an Allegra D yesterday. I was interviewing Cam, and I could just feel the sniffles coming on, and I just took a dose yesterday. I'm up for a dose today, but I cannot stand taking allergy medication, and the only reason why is because I don't like to mix anything. Even if I'm taking a multivitamin, I like to keep things separated. So
right.
You sound great. You sound like you're breathing extremely well, but,
I wish I heard that more often. I might have to have you, call some of my friends and family, let them know.
Why are you having allergy issues already too this year?
No, actually, I'm feeling fantastic. And, you know what? I'm excited about this year, but, I did have a full disclosure, a bit of a celebratory cigar. It's earnings season. We had some good announcements. And I was excited about the interview. So if I cough a little bit, it's not the COVID, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, it was a celebratory cough.
Oh, my God. You bringing up COVID. All right. So what did you do for Super Bowl? Did you do anything?
Well, you know what? On events like the Super Bowl where everybody's out, I like to kind of do the opposite, you know, call me a contrarian. So I actually enjoyed it with my dog. I spent a little bit before the game with some friends, getting some fresh air, some exercise. But I wanted to watch it at home in the privacy and convenience and big screen of my home.
Hey, I don't blame you. Listen, I would have done the same thing. I was invited by a friend to attend a private party who was with the New York Giants. Who else was there? Eric Swan from the Phoenix Cardinals was there. Oh, cool. And Michael Bangston. So we were having an all-out day social. Now, I'm going to admit, I did not want to take an allergy pill because I thought to myself, how many people get the opportunity to have a private social at a home with some of NFL's legends? And I thought, I'm having a freaking cocktail. I am not popping or taking a Allegra D. And even though I know I'm going to feel good and I'm going to be having that decongestant and everything flowing through me and feeling energized, I wanted to sit back and relax because I knew being in this home and around everyone, being mellow Steven was going to work better than hyper Allegra D decongestant antihistamine speeding Steve.
That's fun. Well, and then did you, was your premise correct? Like,
everybody was chill, but I had a little bit of, I'm not a scotch drinker, but I had some really killer scotch. I don't even remember the name of the brand. I should have, but I was so out of it. My nose was dripping and I was talking to one of the girls and, no one said anything. And I just brought up, I was like, dang, I should have taken my allergy medication today. She started laughing. I told her, I was concerned coming because you can't even cough. You can't fart. You can't do anything. And someone's going to think it's COVID. You fart, someone's thinking it's COVID.
Well, and you know what? And especially like, remember a couple of years ago, people were just scared to make any of the natural bodily noises that we need to make just to kind of be healthy and alive. But you know what? Speaking of, because I think you mentioned scotch. I just recently started, let's say, appreciating that. And it's funny because my cousin's husband, now my cousin, she's like a sister to me and she's in Jersey. I think it's Flemington maybe. But you know what he calls it a gentleman's mouthwash. And I think that's a very apt description of what it is and its purpose.
It's potent. Like I had to take sips. How anybody can swig it or take more than I would say like my sips are equivalent to the tip of a teaspoon, like not maybe like a dime size.
Yeah, tiny little bit, you know, like a bird, you know.
Some
yeah.
people drink a teaspoon or a tablespoon swig at a time. I'm like, how the heck? Because it's like potent when it hits your mouth and goes down your throat.
Well, they're called either young people or aggressive drinkers. I won't use the other term. I used to be one of those back
Were
in the day.
You?
Full disclosure. Well, no, I mean, I used to be a young person back in the day, but no, shots was never for me. Okay. Shots was never for me. I, you know, of course I've done them, but I, you know, one of the things that I would like to be a little bit proud of is, and part of my job is to spot trends. So, you know, I saw the writing on the wall. This is not going to be good for VJ. So let's stop doing this.
Oh, hey, you're young, you're vibrant, you got incredible energy. Once again, we've got VJ Marolia. He's with us today. We're going to be talking about Social Security bankruptcy, and is it almost guaranteed? Give us a little bit of a backstory. What is your expertise? What specifically are you specializing in, VJ?
Well, right now I'm a wannabe author, but over the last 24 years, I've been in financial services. I was a CFP, a certified financial planner. I don't do financial planning anymore. Today, I'm a fund manager, and I'm trying to write more, teach more, if you will, about things that I think Wall Street is doing a terrible job of making simple, and our education system has pretty much dropped the ball about explaining even the most basic necessary things, like, you know, the fact that we don't learn about FICOs or, different types of mortgages before we get out of school, that's not really helping anybody, is it?
No. And we learned a lot more back in the day about money and finances. I don't even know if these kids or anybody, unless they're going to college, is learning about any of this in school.
Well, I mean, either way, I don't know what they're learning, because correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, but I believe that recently America led the world in number of people that the earth is flat per capita. That's not something to be proud of, is it?
I was talking to somebody, what was it? It was at one of the Super Bowl events. Yes, it was. I met a school teacher. He was interning for Telemundo. And I was just getting this vibe and just feeling what he was saying. And I shared with him a suggestion of how I felt what he could do as a teacher and a potential journalist in media for his students. So I knew that we were meeting at the perfect time, and he thanked me at least three times. And I said, well, we were meant to meet so you could hear this message. And, you know, I was like, this is what I do. When I take Google, ChatGPT, put it together, that's how my brain works. So even if someone's not asking me a question, I take in the information, and then my brain will just process, and I'll come out with like brilliant ideas. And that's what I shared with him. And I said to him, or we were talking and sharing, VJ, about how teaching and education is today. I said, I had the luxury where I was able to take acting classes in high school. I took debate in high school, and then I took it in college. He's like, they don't teach acting classes. Kids don't have debate anymore.
No, they don't. Well, that's one good thing about New Jersey. Great schools up there. Amazing schools up there, right?
Of course, but still, like, I think it's all over, isn't it, VJ, to where they're cutting out a lot of stuff in academics?
Oh, I mean, they're cutting out what I would consider to be some of the most important things, which should be, well, here's what's going to help you further yourself towards the goals that you have. And everybody has their own unique goals, as they should. And, you know, I think there's so many bases that we could cover here. I'm almost scared, because I don't want to be the guy that goes off on random tangents. But I will tell you one thing, because I noticed you said something that about recently being thanked. Because sometimes, as you know, things happen for a reason, and conversations are they almost have a meant quality to it. Well, my goal today, you just gave me one. I want to be able to thank you four or five more times. So let's see if we can continue getting our mental wheels turning and see how we create win-win-wins. How about that? Let's start with that. I think that there's a really key piece of the success puzzle, if you want to call it success. You know, everybody has their own definition.
Yeah.
But I think you and I, what little I know about you, but what I want to learn more about is, do you get what you want out of life by helping other people get what they want out of life? Because that's kind of the secret, I believe.
I love that question, VJ. I do. And it's why I've held on so long working in PR and media for over 30 years. And I've most recently, since making a decision of wanting to transition fully out of PR and basically do it as something as a side note and start, you know, bankrolling great opportunities and financials through being a full-time journalist and media personality, which is something I never thought I would ever turn to. But then, you know, I'll be 50 in April. Nothing about my life or in my life has ever been planned. I've done more things unplanned.
I think I misheard you, Stephen. I think you said 50.
That's 50.
Did you carry an extra one? Come on. Are you talking about human years or dog years?
It could be both. Yeah, I know.
Whatever you're doing, man, keep doing it. You, my assistant was kind enough to put together a nice little, file. And I figured you were my age. But then again,
how old are you?
I forget that. I'll probably be 50 in what, 6.5 years now. I'll be 44 in August.
You look great. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I went to the dry cleaners about 2 weeks ago, and the one girl, and we've known each other for several years, somehow we got in a topic of age. She swore I was 32 because we were talking about birthdays. I said, yeah. I said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to turn 50 this year. And I said, it's exciting. I've made it 50 years in this world, especially from my background of what I went through with my biological family. And she's like, no way. I was like, yeah. She's like, I thought you were 32, Steve. And I was like, nope. Her nickname's Danny. And I said, no, I'll be 50 in April.
No, I could believe that. I bet you probably get ID'd too.
You know what? There are times I do. There really are, especially in places to where I have seen, in Vegas, if someone's looking 50, like 60, like really their age, like not really their age, but you know, maybe a little bit older than they should, you know, they're not getting carded. Like they're just walking in. And so, but yeah, I mean, there are places that I'm surprised that I still get carded in. Not saying I'm assuming that they think I'm 21. I think that they have to card, but I've seen, you know,
but they still have to card based on a range. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, I don't want you to sell yourself short, brother. The range is like, oh, well, unless they look over 30. So they're basically telling you that you're 29 ish.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm serious because I want to thank you for that additional information or clarification on that, VJ, is because that's the point that I was getting at, but you nailed it through the board with one hammer swing, is it's the age range. Because I've seen people that go by and they'll just pull the rope or whatever and let them walk by when they're of an older age. But yeah, I get stopped every time. But listen, if whatever that age range is, VJ, I'm glad I'm in it to where I get carded.
Me too, brother. I wish that I had the pause button on life, or sometimes the mute button would be helpful.
Well, you know what it is? It's going back to, you know, what you do and what life is like and where we're at in life is not letting it get to you. I mean, look at the years that you've had on this earth, VJ. I mean, count how many times you've done your best to not let something infect or affect you to cause you to disintegrate. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope it's well-deserved, but you know what? I'm a fan of life, and I'm so excited about, you know what? Here's another question that I think should be asked more, but it's not asked enough. And actually, it's one of my favorite. Well, I'm going to give away some dating tips here. I hope that's okay.
Yeah,
this is a great, question to ask on a first date, ladies and gentlemen, or whatever you identify as on any given day, but ask the other person, what are you excited about? That's a good question because, A, hopefully it's taking the conversation to a positive level and something that might be very important to learn about the person that's responding. Or I guess, you know, looking at the glass half full, it'll tell you how exciting of a life they might have.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite question to ask on a first date?
Me? Does that even exist? Dating? I mean, people. I'm not kidding. People are ready to go right to bed, right to sex, or stupid.
Forgive my ignorance. Now, I'm not sure if you have a family. I don't have a family yet, but yeah, dating is getting weird, and so I don't know. Are you? Get kids?
No, nope.
Same.
And I'm going to put it on record. We were talking about our animals, and I was sharing with VJ, you know, about my dog and things like that. And yeah, I've got no responsibilities. My marriage is to my career. If I'm going to do anything, VJ, I'm going to adopt. And why I want to adopt, because I was adopted when I was 9. So if there's anything I plan to do when it comes to family, is I want to be able to share it forward and to be able to give someone a future the way my parents gave me a future.
That's awesome, man. I love that message. I really do. And I can totally empathize with what you said about married to the career, because, it took me, I mean, I'm still married to my career, but now I got the dog that, you know, so she allows me to, cheat on her with work, pays the bills, and she enjoys the food that I give her. But I'll tell you what, I think that it's important, especially for someone that has, I think, what we do, and a lot of our listeners do, which is ambition or a message or something that they know that they're on the verge of or on a path towards. And it's something that they know that even if they tried to forget about it, they wouldn't be able to. And actually, I think that's a great way to separate the good ideas from the impulse, random, you know. How about, I think Dr. Jordan Peterson might say, separate the meaningful from the expedient.
I like that. I like that a lot. For those that are tuning in, we've got VJ Marolia. He's a seasoned money manager with over 20 years of capital market experience, specializing in hedge fund and private equity investment strategies. He's also the author of Baby's First Business Book, one of the first business books written by or written for babies. And I like the fact that you used a dollar sign for the S for Baby's First Business Book.
Yeah, I'm trying to appeal to the Gen X and millennials. And plus, you know, I thought that it might be a unique way to, because we're all visual, right? So one of the things that I was not formally trained on was physics and biology and medicine, but I'm so curious, almost to a fault, started learning more about that. And as they say, a picture speaks 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
It might be more than that with inflation.
I've got to ask, you know, you've got great accolades. You're intelligent. You're articulate. You've got a lot going on in your life. What best advice to help anyone get out of fight or flight and get into some sort of homeostasis, some sort of balance? What advice can you offer? And I don't even mean it could be money. It can be whatever, VJ, in your years and expertise, whether as a seasoned money manager or otherwise, or even a pet owner, what should someone know to make their life simpler?
Well, how about this? Just as a human being. So I'm going to, with your permission, I'm going to answer it in three ways. We'll start with, you know, how they say when you call any kind of doctor's office, hey, if this is an emergency, let's start there. So let's start there. If this is an emergency, if you are feeling overwhelmed with life or with your finances or anything, just overwhelmed, do not go straight to the pill. Here's what I suggest. Okay, let's go for a walk. 5 minutes minimum, hopefully 15 if you can do it. An hour is ideal. 45 minutes will change a response in your brain. So let me start over. If you can go for a 45-minute walk alone, not with the problem, whatever that may be, whatever shape or form that may be, but alone with your thoughts, allow your body and your body chemistry to do what it's designed to do. And we're not supposed to sit in chairs all day. I'm glad that you're, I don't know if you're sitting in a chair or walking on your, desk treadmill, but whatever you're doing, we need to sit down every once in a while. But when we are confronted with a problem, we need to walk and think about it. And if you're really overwhelmed, the first thing you want to do to change that gear, and this is not my idea, the best artists steal. So we should hat tip to Tony Robbins. What you want to do is you want to try to feel some gratitude. So first, just look outside and be thankful of your environment, right? There's probably no bombs going off. There's probably no, starving children on the sidewalk where you're at. Maybe there are. I don't know. I don't know how deep of a listener base you have, but I hope there's not. And if you're not, then okay, well, that's a step in the positive direction. But eventually what you want to do is you want to start to give thanks for the people that are around you, because we are social creatures. We need each other. Listen, I love my independence and I love my solo time, just like anybody. And all the personality tests have told me that I'm an introvert, which I do not disagree with. I learned extroversion because I was kind of dropped in the deep end of the pool at an early age, and I'm thankful for that. But I don't enjoy that all the time, which I think my answer to your Super Bowl question would add credence to. But I digress. Coming back to it, give thanks. It's almost impossible physiologically to feel bad and gratitude at the same time. Gratitude is good. So it's hard to feel bad when you feel gratitude. But eventually, after you're done giving thanks, try three different things or three different people or three different things in your environment. And then continue walking. And now you want to be like, listen, what's the worst thing that could happen with the thing that I'm stressed about, right? And what you'll normally realize is that it's not going to kill you or your loved ones. Deep breath. And then two more, and then three more, because now you realize you just turned a mountain into a molehill. Agree or disagree? I don't want to bore you to death, Stephen.
No, you're not boring me. I'm listening. This is your time. This is your stage, my friend.
Oh, wow. Well, let me take a bow. And by the way, feel free to call my mom. But, you know, what happens is after you give gratitude, you take a deep breath, you already imagine the worst case scenario, and then you realize it's not as bad as it was. Now you really want to getting on the positive side of things. Okay, what can I do to at least take one step closer? The biggest mistake we make, and myself included, and when I say myself included, I don't mean myself included like a long time ago. This is something I struggle with on a daily basis. Do not make the problem, the task, the project, the goal too big when you want to take a start. You know what I mean? A journey of 10,000 miles has to begin with a step. So take that step, you know, and that could be, so I'll give you a trick. Now, this might be laughable to some of the listeners who don't have a problem with procrastination, but that's fine. Feel free to laugh. Laughter is the best medicine. Full disclosure, I'm not a doctor. One of the reasons why my parents are not proud of me. Sorry, that's my security guard. looks like Uncle Bezos has delivered something to the front door. Once again, I digress. Bring me back, Stephen. Where was I?
Life. My interpretation of what I'm hearing is about life and balance and going back to what I shared earlier in the beginning of the show. Just do it. Get to it. Take action.
Yes. Yes, take action. And you know what? What helps to with action is emotion. So, for example, a lot of action requires a certain motion. Well, emotion helps to charge that motion. And so what I do, if I want to work out, I'll put it on something where, for example, I like Hard Knocks, you know, and now I'm seeing all the, you know, I used to identify as an athlete, listeners, okay? And sometimes I still believe I'm one, and that's when I pull a hamstring. But in any case, hold on 1 second, guys. Let me just make sure that we're not being here. It's okay, Raven. Oh, she doesn't like some of the landscape, guys. No offense, guys. Sorry. Listeners. I'm sorry, Steven. Hey, Raven. Thank you. You want to take a coffee break or, you know, okay.
About that. It makes for great radio, let me tell you. Hey, nothing's scripted. Nothing's going to be edited. Come on.
Well, this is real life. This is real life. In real life, sometimes the dogs bark. What are you going to do?
Yep, I agree.
I think you got to pull me back into the...
Balance and just do it. Get it done. Take action.
Yes. There you go. So, listeners, you want to imagine a Nike symbol and then the yin-yang. So it's balance and then just do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've done it. You've been featured in Wall Street Journal's Market Watch, Forbes, Reuters, CBS News, and you've given dozens of live TV interviews and more. And we're adding to that because you're having one with me right now for two radio stations, Power 98.5 Satellite Radio and Biz Talk Radio.
And I hope it's not the last time, Stephen, because no. This is okay.
Cool. Remember, we've got each other's private contact. Seriously, you can reach out to me anytime. Anything that you want to talk about, whether it's a book or money, like it doesn't even have to be a topic. It could be something to be like, hey, Stephen, this is what happened in my life today. This is what's going on. Do you think it's something your listeners would be interested in? Because here's the thing, what I appreciate with you.
You may have just opened a can, brother. Okay, I hope you don't regret giving me that green light.
I know exactly what I'm doing.
I think there's so many things that could be helpful and that are not covered. May I ask you this? Have you seen some of the recent data on, well, let's call it mainstream media and the viewership and the growth or lack thereof. Basically, it's been a significant double-digit decrease in a lot of the news media viewership. And I really believe that our viewers want more, and I think they deserve more. Our listeners, our viewers, whatever, our citizens, our society.
Well, what it is people, I believe, are done with the over-fabrication of marketing and in your face that if you don't buy this, have this, invest in that, then you're a piece of crap. And so what it is, you know,
100%.
Everything is tailored for advertising. I just had this conversation with Cam yesterday. I always say this, know where the money's coming from. When you know exactly where the money is coming from, then you're going to know who the investors, shareholders, sponsors, advertisers, where, how the cult is all linked. That's what you want to know.
So Stephen, hold on, forgive my ignorance, but is this a show that we can actually get real? Or, I mean, I don't know who your sponsors are. Last thing I want to, you know what I mean?
No, I don't worry about, listen, everybody knows that I talk about real news and real topics. I'm not an infomercial.
Are you taking a say about whoever? And
yeah, I
and,
mean, I mean, I'm going to say as a publicist, I mean, just be mindful. You know, no one's taken any of my show episodes and turned it into a TMZ segment. But once again, to go back and just to close by saying, to bounce off of what you said earlier, VJ, is people are done and tired of information being controlled and shoved down their throat that is contrived and orchestrated and tailored not for their best interest, but tailored for the network's best interest, for their investors, shareholders, sponsors, and advertisers.
As they should be. And who can blame them?
I'm done with it. And I've been doing it for over 30 years. It's why, you know, I had no plans of starting a radio station. I didn't want the legal responsibility. I didn't want the financial responsibility, you know. And also I made it very clear in a conversation I had with a terrestrial radio station that wanted to pick up my show and wanted to find out if I could, you know, maneuver any potential advertisers or anything that I could have over to them. I said, listen, I own my own radio station. I said, honestly, I have no advertising on my station except for what I push, or if there's an event I'm part of, or I'm getting a media pass or doing something for an event. But I said, I wanted to build my station on the premise of being able to do it to where it is for the people. It's doing what a publicist and journalist is supposed to do, and that's being a representative for the public, to where you can come here, get the news and get the content, and know that it's being delivered raw, organically, and in a way to where I'm not at the mercy of sponsors or advertisers to have to then control the news and to control the narrative and context in making sure I stay in alignment for what I'm being paid, not for what the people should hear.
Hallelujah, brother. I wish there was more people that are doing what you're doing, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and I'm not to get, and here's the thing. I'm going to put it on record. Am I ready to look for advertisers? Am I ready for advertising or sponsorship now? Absolutely. I just got picked up by BizTalk, you know, radio. Their reach is 20 million. And they're a huge support system for me. And now I want to get into that.
Next round's on you, Steven. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know what? I want a Matt Lauer check. I want to get $20 million for me being fabulous and being me and doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a journalist.
Well, how about this? And you hit something on the head, whether you knew it or not. And that is, we all deserve a raise, and we can all get a raise.
Yeah.
And what the government should do, rather than turning our young people into political warriors without having any freaking experience or, you know, any leg to stand on, is they should teach them how they can avoid the problems that prevented us, right? Like, let's give them the tools to get over the hurdles that helped us. And each generation does that. So therefore, what does that necessitate? It necessitates a dynamic education system. And not a static one, which is what we have today.
What I'm going to add to this, and I don't mind saying it, is what the government should do is read thoroughly on what the original Declaration of Independence meant.
Hallelujah, brother.
And then begin from there.
Yes. In other words, we should understand our history. Otherwise, we don't know how we got here. We need to understand psychology. Otherwise, we don't know what our motivations are for the near future. And so I know you didn't ask me this, but how about a potential topic for later on, Stephen? Is there the two most important topics that are not taught in business school for investors or people that want to be better at investing, and that is history and psychology. In fact, I would say not even investing. First of all, we're all investors because we all are investing our resources, our time, our limited amount of time, energy, effort, money towards certain activities, right? Because look, here's the bottom line. People are talking about equality. Well, here's the equality. It's time. If we're blessed, we'll have 24 hours. Most of us have to sleep for 8 hours, right? And a lot of us have to work for more than 8 hours, right? But it's that third set of 8 hours, Stephen. That's what changes people's lives and their futures. What are you going to do with that third set?
Exactly. Exactly. What are you going to do not only with the third set, VJ, but what can you do just by taking one foot forward, dialing one number at a time and getting on the phone? I'm going to tell you, this is, if I can add real quick, this is not a conspiracy thing. This is serious. And this is something that's been coming up in conversations privately. I don't know if anybody else is talking about it. But where my concern of it is, and this is why I'm extremely happy to be, I'm just going to say 50 years old. So it's, you know, not even 2 months from now. So I'm just going to say, having the opportunity of 5 decades in this world, I'm going to tell you what my Sicilian grandfather always said: keep your ears and eyes open, your mouth shut, and you're going to learn a lot more. VJ, I'm going to be honest. This isn't woo-woo. This isn't craziness. This isn't something to where anybody can take and go and put on and make a TMZ clip. I am really concerned as to wondering what is happening with people today. And why I'm asking this is because we come from a generation where people had an attention span of 25 to 30 minutes. There was competency. There was coherency. There was accountability. There was vetting. There was interest. People were interested to want to be interested in people and themes and topics. Now the attention span is 1.6 to 2.9 seconds. And I don't know, you know, people joke say, is it in the water? Is the government putting a signal out there in the world? I don't doubt anything because I don't understand how within 5 decades the world has gone and gotten itself stupid to where that whole Resident Evil thing, I call this new idiocy or this craziness or this delusion the real T virus. Even though people are not walking around like zombies biting each other, people are walking around like zombies and hurting each other and hurting themselves in ways that there is absolutely no accountability for and absolute praise. I'm thinking if this was happening in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and if there was technology then, oh my God, can you imagine what the world would have been next? You know, VJ?
I mean, I'll tell you what, you hit so many nails. Do you do like construction part time? How are you hitting all the nails on the head?
I'm just that good.
Well, how about this? May I ask you, have you ever seen this amazingly hilarious and little did I know when I first saw it? It's almost like, it's like Nostradamus produced it. It's called Idiocracy.
I don't know if I've ever heard of that. But
all right, well, how about this? Add that to your list. Basically, it's a comedy that shows what the future looks like. And the basic premise that they make is that smart people stop reproducing because they're so busy in their careers. And the only people that reproduce are dumb people. And then politicians get dumber and dumber. And so, like, the future president is and by the way, I love Terry Crews, who plays the future president. He's also a world championship wrestler. So how similar is that to our reality, right? We got a president who is a reality TV star. And by the way, he seems to be a better option than the guy right now. I mean, here's what I don't understand. There's a whole political party that seems to blame all the problems of humanity on old white people, and they selected for their leader. World's lost their mind.
The world has lost their mind. And
can I,
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I actually, what if I told you that I have a train of thought that has about four or five stops, and I'm going to give you my as frank and as honest, and I don't care if I get canceled. I'm going to tell you exactly all the data, all the history, all the connecting the dots is showing me to answer your question, what's happening and why.
No, go ahead. Listen, that's what we're here for.
Okay. Well, I do believe that there are more political motivations than economic. And I believe that the monetary policy, so the Federal Reserve. So for our listeners, the Federal Reserve is not, it's about as Federal Express. No, it's a private entity that's owned by private member banks like JP Morgan, okay, and Citigroup. And it is not a political entity. It is separate from. So the U.S. Treasury is where our money goes, right? So when you pay the IRS, you pay it to the U.S. Treasury. You don't actually write a check. Never write a check to the Internal Revenue Service. No, no, that's not. You write it to the U.S. Treasury when you're paying taxes. But once again, I digress. The point is, inflation is a bigger problem than anybody realizes, and that affects not only today's topic, which I think we've only kind of like lightly tap danced around, which is Social Security is the brokest, the jokest, right? And what are we going to do about it? And when is it going to run out? And a lot of that has to do with inflation because, for example, let's assume that there's some uninformed nerd in the audience.
But Vijay, there's a COLA adjustment, and COLA stands for cost of living adjustment. So how can inflation be a problem?
Because the COLA adjustment is less than 3%, young nerd, uninformed. And inflation is, you got to add a one on top of that, right? Because it's not the headline inflation that you're seeing right now, 4% or whatever, 3%. No, 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 it's higher than that. And a resource that I think is very helpful for our listeners, there's a gentleman named John Williams, and he used to work for the bureau that calculated CPI, which is consumer price inflation. And what a lot of people don't realize, and what shocked me when I first learned about it 15 years ago, is that they keep changing the calculation. So imagine like watching Super Bowls, but like every year the goalposts are moved. That's not the same game, is it? Mm. So the real rate on his website, it's free, he posts what it is in closer to double digits. Now, that would explain why people are mad about rent and McDonald's is like 10 bucks for a Happy Meal. That's not happy. So inflation is just like, you know, it's one of the many things that we're being lied to about. But I digress. Do you want to interject or do you want me to continue?
No, go ahead and continue. Listen, because I could have a lot to say, but you know what? I want to stay grounded and seated because I have family in military and law enforcement. And I understand a lot. Thank you. I understand a lot of what you're saying. And honestly, you know, here's the thing. From a PR perspective or even as a journalist, any conversations that someone has with me in private or wherever, full disclosure, it is in confidential. I believe in discretion and anonymity. I'm fully into that, fully supportive of privacy and transparency, as well as, you know, whatever information is given to me, that's being told to me. I am always, thank you. I always, and I mean that, thank you. I'm always being objective. My legal responsibility is to be neutral, objective, and unbiased. Okay. As a journalist, as a publicist, to be fair, honest, disclose all material facts. So even though we're all wanting to be objective and disclose as much as we can of material facts, still there is going to always be a slight situation or opportunity where something subjective can come into play. And once again, I understand, and my whole point is where you're going with this, VJ, objectively. And I have objective thoughts. I just believe and know that anyone who listens to my show or anyone who knows me well enough, that there are times that my objective thought and advice can also come across subjective as well. And I'm just going to be transparent. And since we're talking about transparency here and you're going to be getting into a certain subject it's not planned. I don't know what it's going to be about, is in my true feeling as someone with 50 years of experience in this world, is I truly would love to say things are going to get better. I'm going to tell you 100%. Honestly, though, I believe things have gotten worse. And if anyone says that, in my objective, in my reality I'm speaking to, VJ, anyone, if they were to say whether it's equality, economy, rights, politics, I'm going to say, who's writing you a check? And who's paying you to live a comfortable life to say that? Because in a real world, in my reality, to with the people that I know, from reality TV to film to everything else, no, things are not getting better. They're getting worse. They're just not publicizing it online. They're not showing the kids that are 4, 5, 6, 7 years old looking like they're just tourists in Las Vegas, but they're really homeless. They're not showing on the news families strolling around newborn babies to their tents that I have seen. They're not talking about how over there in City Hall in broad daylight in San Francisco, drug activities are happening. And police are outside and nothing's getting done. So once again, nothing is getting better. I'm going to say that I'm grateful to be where I'm at and when I was born and what I've had the opportunity to learn and grow into. But I'm going to also say that as much as I believe in prayer, as much as I do my best to have a positive mindset, I am scared that I may not have a future. And I'm concerned that if the people that are younger than me are homeless and can't take care of their kids and animals and everything else. I mean, people aren't even talking about how, shelters, the abandonment of animals have been the highest, even after the pandemic, the highest, because people cannot even afford to take care of their animals. And some of these no-kill animal shelters places are charging people now to take the animals and they're not taking them in free anymore. So once again, with all transparency, if anyone tells me that life is getting better, I want to know who their sugar daddy or sugar mama is that's paying them to say that and giving them a comfortable life, because they're not living in reality, not with the rest of the world.
I agree 100%. And that's I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are not happy with a lot of the, let's call it, the communication coming from the White House, because they're trying to pretend like, hey, look at this chart. You're supposed to be happy. Why aren't you happy? Look at the chart. No, it's not like that. That's not how people think. But you hit, once again, it's almost like you're doing a whole roof construction. One of the things you mentioned is follow the money. So that reminds me of Charlie Munger. Charlie Munger, for our listeners that may not be familiar, he's what a lot of people consider to be the real brains behind Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway is Warren Buffett's investment vehicle and the most expensive stock ever in the history of stocks. And so what Charlie Munger taught me is, if you really want to understand human behavior, you have to understand the human's incentives. And so that's how you change behavior and understand it. And part of that is, yes, like you said, following the money. But then there's also the inverse of it, right? Because one of the other things that Charlie Munger taught me is that you want to invert it. To understand any topic, flip it on its head, and then see how it stands, right? And so the lack of incentives explains a lot of other things. So, for example, I want to make sure that nobody's mad at me after this show. So I'm going to tie it back into Social Security. Why do we have a system that is overpaying on purpose and then hires other people to call and ask money back from grandma? And so what I mean by this is that every single year, billions, I think tens of billions of dollars are overpaid by Social Security to people that are getting pensions but haven't yet reported it. And they haven't figured out a way to. Meanwhile, anywhere on planet Earth, I can call an Uber in 30 minutes. And so this is the type of low-hanging fruit that is right now rotten to the core and causing a lot of financial as well as personal problems, but also so easy to just get rid of it and replace it. But a lot of people don't have, let's say, the political huevos, for our Latin speaking friends, to do anything about it, because nobody really wants to get behind something that's so sensitive. You picking up what I'm putting down, Steve?
I do. It makes clear sense, and I'm glad you're saying it, because once again, we're not alone. There's a lot of people that will understand what you're talking about.
Well, here's the second stop in the station. Do you know who's the basic? Well, how about this? We'll continue the theme of the huevos, the balls, the root of the problem, so to speak. Not that balls are the problem. First of all, balls are not the problem. And I don't believe in toxic masculinity. In fact, maybe we need a little bit more, because it's not toxic. Okay. But you have to have balance, like you said. So you have to have some masculinity. You can't have just a world full of estrogen. It'll be really loud. But in any case, do you know who owns media and has them by the proverbial industry, or who's the, oh, I'll ask it in a different way. Let me ask it in a nerdy research analyst way. Who is the largest financial advertiser for the mainstream media?
I should know that, but I'm not going to go ahead and cheat and Google it real quick to refresh my memory. If you know it, drop it.
Big freaking pharma. Oh, and that's why we see, yeah. And the part that I just learned recently, because here's what I couldn't figure out. And when things I can't figure out, yeah, that causes a little bit in the short term, an unpleasant feeling. But that's called, wait a minute, why, that doesn't make sense. But and here's something else that I hope we can get to later, because this ties into Social Security too. We can call this hashtag disability. Let's define it, because people have different definitions of disability. I hate the freaking word. How dare we even call anybody disabled? First of all, you know, we're scared to call people a team Redskins, but we're calling a large growing percentage of our population disabled. How dare we?
Yeah, there's a lot of contradictions, a lot of contradictions still.
There's so much ability, and technology increases our ability. And what we know about the way that our mind works, and what psychology has taught us and neuroscience has taught us, is that the more we repeat these things, the more we will believe them. And that harms us. So we should remove this word. Instead of removing words that are like gender specific, which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how many people out of 100 are like that stressed about it? I'm going to say less than a handful, or maybe less than two handfuls. Otherwise, maybe you're in California. But the point is, there's a lot of other problems that maybe need to be moved ahead of the line in priority, because, again, these are. So how about this? Do you want to hear my definition of the new disability?
Please.
Or depression? Depression. Here's what it is. Scientists call it low part of your circadian rhythm, because one of the fastest growing segments of depression and anxiety, okay? Anxiety is just called 2 to 4 p.m., brother. Between 2 and 4 p.m., or what a lot of people call siesta time, our circadian rhythm is low. So our brain starts, A, turning the smart down, and B, turning the stress up. And that happens every day at 2 to 4 p.m. So if you just get ahead of it, then you don't need to take pills and then kill your physical body. I'm going to take a step back, because I'm getting heated.
Hey, listen, be passionate. That's what we're here for. People are going to resonate with your passion.
I don't want to be canceled before the end of February.
I think you're going to be fine.
Well, I appreciate you being open to and receptive to these ideas. Do you know how they define disability formally?
Hasn't it changed, though? They've been changing in the last several years, hasn't it?
Yes.
It did change again. So I don't know what the new determination would be.
So there's a thing. There's a book. Call it the Bible of Big Pharma. It's called DSM. And basically, they're on DSM version 5, I believe. Again, full disclosure, I'm not a doctor. My mom's still waiting for me to do that, because I'm Indian. And she thinks that she doesn't understand what fund manager does. But I'm not a doctor. But the way that they define and the way that they decide what to prescribe to you is a simple checklist on this book called DSM-5, or maybe it'll be on 6 by the time you hear this. And all they do is make it easier and easier and easier to prescribe. All you have to do is meet. So how about this? Do you know what they diagnosed me with? More than once.
Diagnosed you. With, diagnosed
yes.
You. Okay.
Yeah, but not with depression. Attention deficit disorder, ADD. There's another acronym, ADDHD. I think I have ADDAF. Our listeners probably can figure out what that means. But do you know who else has that? Almost everybody that's excited but nervous. And so what I'm trying to present to our listeners and to the public, and what I want to teach on once I gather more and more data, which I'm doing on the daily, is if you think you're depressed, first thing, look at your watch or your clock, or probably your phone or whatever sundial you use. It's probably 2 to 4 p.m. So calm down. Go for a walk. You don't need a pill, okay? During that walk, before 4 p.m., three things you're thankful for, three people you're grateful for. Then start thinking about, what can I do? What is my talent? We each have, instead of like trying to tie each other based on our race and our sexual orientation, like I can't believe how far back we're going into time. And oh my God, people would be rolling in their graves if they knew that we had segregation in schools. I mean, that's a whole other topic. I don't want to open up that can of worms, but I guess I kind of did. Let me come back to it. We should celebrate our differences, our unique qualities. There's a reason why our DNA is unique, why our fingerprints are unique, because we are unique. And it doesn't start or stop with our skin color or our sex or our age or our weight, okay? Let's use our minds, as that's what separates us from the rest of the mammal kingdom.
Okay, keep going.
I want to take a 10-second timeout. No, I'm kidding. I feel like I'm talking too much, bro.
Yeah, it's this. Let me ask you this. All right, we're going to do a quick recap. So for those that are tuning in, we've got my new friend, which I can honestly say, Vijay Marolia. He is a seasoned money manager with over 20 years of capital markets experience, specializing in hedge fund and private equity investment strategies. He's been featured on Wall Street Journal's Market Watch, Forbes, Reuters, CBS News, and has given dozens of live TV interviews and more. And he's also the author of Baby's First Business Book. And what I love most, Vijay, is I don't know what your other interviews were like on the Wall Street Journal, Market Watch, or Forbes, but this is what real journalism, real media, real conversation, real connection should be about. And what I want to thank you and appreciate you for in sharing in the value of how valuable conversation is because you're free and comfortable to express yourself. We're not living by and owning a controlled atmosphere or telling the listeners and anyone and everyone that's listening to the show and that will listen to the show of a controlled environment that's fluffed and airbrushed and orchestrated. You're being your true self is Vijay Marolia, and I love it. So I hope you're going to continue to take this experience and to be reminded on any and all of your future interviews that as long as you know what you're saying and what you're doing and how comfortable you feel in that, do it and say it. I'm going to be honest. If I feel that you're moving in a direction that is not in your best interest, I definitely will interrupt or, you know, not purposely interject, but just to kind of do a quick reset. But you're on
the
mark.
Well, then you're hired. You're hired, Steve. Yeah.
You're on the mark, and I feel that you are aware of what you're doing and what you're saying. And I'm most importantly, passion, passion, passion. It goes back to what you had said and shared earlier about media and we were talking about news. There is no passion in it. It's just, hey, it's 12 o'clock. Are you thinking about 1 o'clock? Yeah. And then after you think about 1 o'clock, let's think about 5 o'clock. Get over it. Enough with exactly. The nonsense.
Exactly. And that's why we need more people like you that have the courage and that have the calling and that recognize your own calling. and have helpful media and helpful content like this. And if you don't mind, may I end with one quote, which ties action, which I think both of us want our listeners to at least, if not chase after, then at least start to build, understand, mold, and develop.
Yeah, please share that quote.
Here's what changed my life. And this happened recently. I call it my creative midlife crisis. It was a quote that said, we all live two lives. And the second one starts when we realize we only live one.
Repeat that again, please. Repeat that again.
We all live two lives. And the second one starts when we realize we only live one. The first 40 years of my life, Stephen, I was living for society and my family. That's why I got into finance. Because every time I had a problem when I was a kid, they'd be like, oh, that's too expensive. So I was like, okay, I got to figure out this money thing. And then once I learned more about it, understood it, that really led me to so many other paths, right? Because then I had to understand a little bit about, or not a little bit, but a lot, right? About economics, about commodities, about politics, about history, about science, about psychology, about education, about unions. And man, what a journey. And this is the journey that you would think the Department of Education would be interested in. You would think that they would want to have other people join this amazing experience, training, and profitable career, lifespan journey. But instead, man, they're just bickering and fighting. Hopefully we can talk about these topics and others in the future. And I sincerely appreciate not only what you're doing, but your time in helping me discuss what I'm trying to do.
No, I appreciate that very much. And it's a true honor to have you on. And I want to, you know, give a big shout out to your representative, David. And
Dave Purdy,
should I drop Dave's last name? And like, yeah, so Mr. Dave Purdy, and he checked in, and I was like, yeah, we're live on Power 98.5, and it's being recorded, and it's going to air on Biz Talk Radio, and he's happy and all, so this is exciting.
For our listeners, Dave's kind of a big deal, and he has been nothing but extremely helpful to me, for me. And I consider him a friend, and I consider you a friend now, too. Digital friend, Stephen, and until we meet one day.
You know what? What's awesome is I'm always, or I have always been and still familiar with meeting people through digital, even before the pandemic. And what I appreciate is the fact to where so many people have come to find the value in connection. And most importantly,
it's a game changer.
It is. I went to one of the private Super Bowl parties, and I met a former NFL player who we have been connected on Instagram for at least 3, maybe 4 years. We met for the first time at that party that night.
I bet you have met some of the most interesting people on the freaking planet.
I have, but what's most interesting are these relationships like the one that we're building now. And there are times to where some people, for the most part, some people I have gone never meeting in person as of yet. We still can, but as of yet, I haven't. But there have been other times to where it could take years or maybe a couple months. When I interviewed Cam Gigandet yesterday, I've been trying to get him on my radio show since 2019. It took 5 years, but it was worth it.
So for our listeners, Stephen just hit the nail again on another thing. I'm telling you, I don't know if you're wearing a tool belt or what kind of gear you got, but listeners, persistence. Yeah. Actually, believe it or not, I actually am working on a children's book about this. Maybe offline, maybe I'll pick your brain about it. But listeners, persistence. You cannot give up. I mean, what the media thinks is a overnight success. I think the average time to build an overnight success is like 12 years, 6 minimum. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Right? I mean,
Yeah, I've been wanting to get on CBS Big Brother, and I've been submitting my audition tape since 2010. I have a feeling this may be my year. I really hope this is my year. I say it every year that I'm so proud of the audition that I send in. But what's amazing of the confirmation is, unexpectedly, I didn't realize it. I was having a talk with Alan Klingbeil. He's a military veteran. He's in the Air Force. He's also an actor. He's regularly on this, Walker on the CW. He's also an athlete on Power Slap, UFC's Power Slap. And something came up when we started talking about Big Brother. It was like, oh, yeah, they should be taking auditions right now. So I sent him the information to submit his info. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do mine. So I planned it 3 days ago, but it didn't turn out. The energy and the mood wasn't there. And I got this feeling, all right, at least I'm pre-amping myself and getting myself prepped and ready. And then yesterday I came home from a very busy day and I felt energized. And I took me 5 takes, but I banged out what I felt was one of the best audition tapes that I could do for all the knowledge I know in casting. And my whole point in this is just it's persistence and paying attention to the signs. So once again, when I was speaking to Alan, Big Brother came up. I went and researched it, went into the database. Boom, they are looking. Got the link, and then there we go. I then was attending all these different private events. I went to Paramount Plus and TikTok. I then ended up meeting Taylor Hale, who won last season's Big Brother. She won not only the jackpot, but she won America's Favorite. So she got the $300,000. So her and I think I'm supposed to be calling her today because it's Tuesday. And so I met her. So all of these synchronicities are popping up. And then I was going online and going through my Twitter and came across one of my older interviews. And it was me talking about how I wanted to be on Big Brother in the worst way. So what's interesting is pay attention to the signs. It is very serendipitous. There is nothing by accident. When things start to align, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, what, no matter what it is, in reality, my reality, VJ, is it was just me of God, the universe, all the above, my angels, that put me in a place and space this time around to where it wasn't about, oh, I got to get in on this show. I'm past that. I'm past feeling the desperate or ambitious or whatever. I'm in this place to where if it happens, it happens. I'm just grateful to be able to be part of the opportunity, not knowing that one day, could be this year, VJ, I could end up be getting a phone call from one of the casting directors over at CBS for the show, and that could be my year. And honestly, this would be the perfect year because it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. I've got no responsibilities, no animals, no kids, nothing. I can do whatever I want, go wherever I want. And what a great way to celebrate my 50th birthday, but yes, in a Big Brother house on CBS.
And how about this? Number one, sending good vibes. they would be stupid to not select you, but also because I cannot turn these mental gears off. I kind of have, I'm learning a lot about media production. My man, let's do one better than that. Why don't we produce our own Little Brother series where we could help young people that may be disaffected, bring them in, you know, leave whatever environment that's negative for you. I'll get the financing, man. I'm good at fundraising, baby. But in any case, one way or another, you're a star and you can just hear it in your voice and your message. And your show and your work is inspiring. Kudos to you, bro.
I appreciate that. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you. I wanted
but
to
just so you know, for all the compliance and all the lawyers, since we talked about this, you can't steal our freaking idea. It's our idea.
It's your idea. I just, you know, but I understand where you're going with that. And keep in mind, there's always going to be copycats. However, the proprietary information behind the scenes that you'll finish coming up with, they won't know about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. If this was a roulette table, I'd put a little extra chips on you and your future. And I appreciate the chance to speak to you in the future.
Thank you. Are we closing out? Do you feel complete? Is there anything you want to else you want to talk about?
Well, how about this? I'll just want to plant three seeds. Number one, guys, never has it been easier to learn. So listen to content like this. When you're taking a walk, you know, watch YouTube videos, attend conferences. I think attending conferences is one of the most underrated investments in your own career. And maybe the most underrated is to read biographies, which is cheap now. Okay. You can read a biography or listen to a biography or borrow one. And that is learning about 3, 4, 5, 6 different subjects at once. So in any case, thank you all for your time. And yeah, man, let's make it a great year.
Thank you, VJ. Just hold on the line real quick, if you could, please. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in to Live on Air with Stephen Cuoco on Biz Talk Radio. And if you happen to miss this episode, remember, you can find Live on Air with Stephen Cuoco on any one of your favorite podcast platforms. Have a great day, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Live on Air with Stephen Cuoco on Biz Talk Radio, biztalkradio.com. My special guest, VJ Marola, is a seasoned money manager with over 20 years of capital markets experience specializing in hedge fund and private equity investment strategies. He's also the author of Baby First Business Book, one of the first business books written for babies. He is convinced that early education on topics related to personal finance and entrepreneurship is the key to solving the world's problems. He's currently the managing partner and chief investment officer of Regal Point Capital, a fast-growing multi-strategy investment firm. He recently founded Dharma Investing, LLC, to create a fund projects focused on education and entrepreneurship. He's been featured in Wall Street Journal's Market Watch, Forbes, Reuters, CBS News, and has given dozens of live TV interviews and more. It's been a great show. If you have any questions, if you want to share any comments, or if you just want to say hello, send me an email to unitedangelsdream@gmail.com. Once again, unitedangelsdream@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Let me know if you would like to be a guest on my show, Live on Air with Stephen Cuoco, that streams live on Power 98.5 satellite radio, power985.com, as well as it airs on Biz Talk Radio weekdays, 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, and Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wow. It was a long, long episode, and I'm glad you guys stayed with it. It's going to be a two-part episode on Biz Talk Radio. And once again, if you'd like to be a guest, reach out to me at unitedangelsdream@gmail.com. And don't forget, we are living in a world and a time where it's all about embracing change and navigating life's transitions with grace and resilience. And how are you doing that? You know, it goes back to what VJ and I were talking about with the changes with government, you know, politics, personal, family, education, school. How are things working for you and for your family with the changes and the new adoption of education or lack thereof? You know, you can't take debate in school anymore. I believe they withdrew acting classes and music classes. You know, how are your kids learning the benefits of interpersonal skills and relationships beyond the phone? Do they ever have the phone not in their hands? You know, change is inevitable part of life. We all know this. Yet it often brings with it feelings of uncertainty, fear, and resistance. We're getting a lot of that. I mean, we're seeing what resistance is doing, what it's causing, of how people are responding and reacting. It's all over social media. You know, where's the balance? So whether it's a career transition, a relationship change, or a shift in personal circumstances, learning to accept and adapt to change is essential for growth and fulfillment. What do you think about that? How are you cultivating a growth mindset, a prosperous mindset? I wake up every morning and I'm like, good morning, God. What opportunities do you have for me today? Every morning. And I like to do it before I get out of bed or the moment that I stand up. What opportunities do you have for me today? Embracing change begins with adopting a growth mindset, which involves viewing challenges as opportunities for learning and development. Instead of fearing change, cultivate a curiosity and openness to new experiences. And recognize that change often leads to personal growth and can ultimately enrich your life in unexpected ways. And what are those? Write those down. It goes back to some conversations I had earlier in my previous episodes. What are you focused on? What are you acknowledging? Where can you bring more acknowledgement and focus to in your life throughout the daily day of distraction? Don't forget about yourself, because we live in a world that wants you to forget about yourself. There are businesses and companies that want you to constantly watch commercials and to buy and consume. Yet, where is the sharing and giving in all of this? Where is the thoughtfulness in everything that we are here to do? So be gentle with yourself and practice once again that self-compassion and acknowledge your feelings without judgment and remind yourself that it's okay to feel uncertain and afraid. I shared that earlier with Vijay. I'm 50 years old and I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be scared of living in this world where there's so much opportunity. Yet sometimes it crosses my mind wondering, is there an opportunity for someone like me, someone of my age? Even if you have to create it for yourself, do it. And treat yourself with kindness and understanding as you navigate through this. That's why I hope you get most out of this interview with Vijay and myself and the tips and the tremendous, incredible advice that he shared. Replay it. Share it with a friend and family member. I'm very impressed. This was not planned. Our topic was about Social Security and bankruptcy, and is it almost guaranteed? And instead, we had an incredible conversation where it led into what I'm sharing with you now and what we're talking about. And even though Vijay shared a lot of tips and insight in a marketplace, still the main focus is how can we stay present in a moment and cultivate mindfulness to help manage stress and anxiety, especially with all these changes in society. So take time for self-reflection and to explore your thoughts, feelings, and reactions to the changes happening in your life. By developing self-awareness, you will gain insights into your strengths and areas of growth, empowering you to navigate change more effectively. And every day, it will get better and better and better and easier. And trust me, your brain will get it. You know, don't try to brainwash yourself or force yourself to mentally be convinced of this reality. It's imperative that you think it, feel it, believe it. And in order to make it divine, you've got to put it into actual action. Take action. Live well, be well. And also recognize when someone needs help and don't hesitate to ask for help. I hope you have a great day. Thank you for listening.